This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Boy, it's so great to have Mr. Michael Gaddy as our guest today. He's a very popular columnist for LouRockwell.com. And Mike, tell us something about your background. I know that you were in the Army in Vietnam.
Yes, sir. Lou, I was joined the Army actually 2 months before I graduated from high school on the delayed enlistment program. Then actually went to basic training shortly after graduation. And within a year going through infantry basic and airborne school, I was sent to Vietnam in 65.
And how long were you there? How many tours?
I did three tours, my second one ending in 71, sir.
Wow. And you know, today, Michael, you're known among people interested in guns and shooting as just an extraordinary expert in especially teaching people how to shoot. You have a wonderful reputation among, I would say, all the people that I admire in this area, all over this country. But I want to talk to you today, not so much about that, although that's an interesting topic, but about what the heck is happening to our gun rights. I must say I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, if I could use that word, about the Bush administration, that they never came after gun rights after 9/11. I frankly expected it. But now it seems like the Obama administration is beginning to do exactly what I expected the Bush administration to do and going after gun owners. Do you think that's correct, or am I wrong to worry?
No, I think you're exactly correct, Lou. And I think so many of the fine writers at LRC speak so often of the economic troubles that we're facing in this country. And you and I both know, and you're much more well-versed in economics than I am, is that this program that they're using now is not going to work. It's going to become chaos. We're going to have civil unrest. And the government realizes that at some point in time, they're going to start seizing private property. And to do so, they want us unarmed. And that will be a priority, even though they've kind of taken it under the radar right now.
Well, you know, if they start to take Americans' guns, they're going to need troops to do that. My guess is they can't just use the police. Can they trust the Army to do that? I mean, will American soldiers actually do that sort of thing to their fellow citizens?
I think so, up to a point, Lou. I think what's going to happen is we're going to have, we had New Orleans after Katrina as a micro edition of what's actually going to happen in this country. And I believe that the National Guard and the troops will be convinced that this is a national emergency and that we need to confiscate firearms. We may very well have a false flag event before that happens, but I believe that there will be. But I believe that the turning point for American troops will be when a soldier from Alabama is in Colorado and he begins to seize firearms from citizens in Colorado, and he in turn gets word that other troops are seizing his family's firearms in Alabama. I think there'll be a turnaround at that point.
Well, because I always think about how empires operate, and for example, when the Soviet Union had unrest or they wanted to do something to people in a particular part of their country, they would always use troops from another part of the country, preferably troops who were ethnically different. They like to use Mongolian troops, for example, if Ukrainians were exhibiting unrest, that is, not wanting to take the orders of the Soviet government. So I've wondered sometimes whether the U.S. concentration in recent years on bringing foreign soldiers into the U.S. Army might they be thinking about that? Might they think that if they had, say, troops who were raised in Mexico might be willing to do this to Americans? I don't know. I'd like to think not. But strikes me as an unusual and an unhealthy thing that they're seeking foreign citizens to bring them into, in effect, the American legions.
Well, I think we may very well see that. And we also have to include, Lou, the fact that they're bringing in convicted felons and gang members into the military who will have no problem with seizing firearms from anyone, because at the same time they're going to be seizing other private property. And being felons by nature, it's not going to be a leap for them.
Well, if we were to have something like this, if we're actually to have the Obama administration start to seize people's firearms, I mean, does this then become a revolutionary situation?
Oh, without a doubt. But I think it's going to be the people who will actually stand, Lou, and say, no, you're not taking my firearms, are going to be a much smaller number than people realize. And I made the analogy that the NRA member who will who stood at the gun counter, and quite a few of them did, and said, you know, I can't really support Ron Paul because he doesn't have a chance of victory, so I'm going to vote for John McCain, even though he is anti-gun. Those people will never stand. They don't have the moral constitution, if you will, to stand and say, no, this is a line you will not cross, because they already made a concession. We had a candidate who was 100% constitutionalist who stood behind the Second Amendment with a 100% voting record, as a matter of fact, the only one in Congress, and supposed gun owners said, no, I can't support him because he doesn't have a chance to win. Those are the people we have to watch out for, Lou, when the curtain goes up, because they're going to be the people who will call with the 800 number and tell BATF or FBI who has firearms in their community.
Well, I must say I've been surprised, even though I have a relatively low opinion of what H.L. Mencken called the bourgeoisie, but there's been virtually no resistance, in fact, cheering to the growth of the police state that's taken place since 9/11, and of course, for a very long time, we've had people's property seized by the government if they wanted to do it, if they wanted to take your house because you're not giving them their protection payment every year. They certainly feel free to seize some huge proportion of your income. They have felt free in the past to seize children and draft them into the armies in Vietnam most recently. And, you know, there was relatively little resistance. And I've always thought that the resistance that took place to the Vietnam War draft actually galvanized the rest of the population in the wrong direction, leading to Nixon and so much of what happened subsequently. So I'm sometimes skeptical that there is a line in the sand. I mean, I think that on the other hand, the government is not as powerful as they appear to be, because the whole thing is a lie. It's all based on lies. You know, government is an inherently parasitical organization, unproductive. The types of people who gravitate to it are not competent people. They're not moral people, but they're not competent either. So I think, you know, I think all the philosophers, whether it's Delabuete or David Hume, Murray Rothbard, Mises, are right to say that the government depends on the consent of the governed. The number of people in the government always is much smaller than the people who are being governed, because they can't rip us off if there are too many of them. So it's always a minority. They can be resisted. They can actually be stopped just by people refusing their consent. But I must say, after what's happened since 9/11, I wonder just how much chance there is of that for something like a gun confiscation.
Well, Lou, I think that one of the key points will be that when people who are working for the federal government, when they cease to be paid to commit these atrocities against the American people, when they cease to receive money to go out and seize firearms, when they cease to be paid to go out or when that money becomes worthless, when they get that paycheck every week or every month, but it won't buy anything, then I think we will see a rebirth of patriotism in those who were willing to sell out in the beginning, and it will be a false rebirth. But I think money is the key issue. I've talked with several federal agents recently, and when you ask them, are they pleased with the administration they're serving, they'll tell you no. And when I pointed out to a couple of gentlemen from the FBI that they were serving an administration that was probably as socialist as either of the two we fought in World War II, surprisingly, they agreed. My point to them was a question they wouldn't answer. I said, how much longer are you going to work for this? How much longer are you going to be an instrument of these people? And, of course, you get that look up in the air and, oh, I don't know, I hope it gets better. Basically they know, but it's the money that's driving the issue, in my opinion, Lou.
Well, that's a great point. And the Federal Reserve and the dollar and what they're doing to the dollar is actually the Achilles heel of the whole regime. Because if they've destroyed the value of the dollar, then yes, everything that they have is threatened. And I think it's also true that, you know, not everybody, obviously, who works for the federal government is a bad person. There are decent guys who work for the post office and in other capacities. I leave aside CIA and the torturers and the professional government overthrowers and professional liars and killers and that sort of thing in the government. But there are plenty of decent people who, yeah, may not go along, especially, as you say, if when they cash their check, they can't buy anything with it.
I think that is really going to be the key. I see that when I talk with these people, when you talk with the FBI, you talk with BATF, and when you talk with the members of the military who, we're protecting freedom, and you hit them with facts, and they can't refute your facts. And then I really think when you talk to them, when you ask them, why do you stay? It's, I've got 6 more years to go to retirement. This has been my career. What else would I do? So it's all tied monetarily. And again, when that dollar won't buy anything, or when they cease to get that paycheck, they're going to suddenly have this rebirth of why I'm in this position.
Well, Michael, from your lips to God's ear.
Let's hope so, sir.
Thanks so much for being on the show today. I want to urge everybody to take a look at your archive, Michael Gaddy. And Michael, as I say, you're famous among all the right circles in this country. So it's great to have you as a writer and great to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Lou, and have a pleasant day, sir.
Bye-bye, sir.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. Thanks for listening.